Strap yourselves in. We have our reading now, which is quite a long reading. It's got some difficult words in, for which I will apologise for any mispronunciation there might be. So just bear with me as we work our way through Judges chapter 4, verses 1 to 17. Again, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord, now that Ehud was dead. So the Lord sold them into the hands of Jabin, king of Canaan, who reigned in Hazor. Sisera, the commander of his army, was based in Harosheth Hagoyim. I've practiced that. You wouldn't believe it, would you? But I have. Comes again in a minute. Because he had 900 chariots fitted with iron and had cruelly oppressed the Israelites for 20 years, they cried to the Lord for help. Now Deborah, a prophet, the wife of Lapidoth, was leading Israel at that time. She held court under the palm of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the hill country of Ephraim. And the Israelites went up to her to have their disputes settled. She sent for Barak, son of Abinoam, from Kedesh in Naphtali, and said to him, "The Lord, the God of Israel, commands you, go, take with you 10,000 men of Naphtali and Zebulun, and lead them up to Mount Tabor. I will lead Sisera, the commander of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his troops, to the Kishon River, and give him into your hands." Barak said to her, "If you go with me, I'll go. But if you don't go with me, I won't go." "Certainly I will go with you," said Deborah. "But because of the course you're taking, the honour will not be yours, for the Lord will deliver Sisera into the hands of a woman." So Deborah went with Barak to Kadesh. There, Barak summoned Zebulun and Naphtali, and 10,000 men went up under his command. Deborah also went up with him. Now Heber, the Kenite, had left the other Kenites, the descendants of Hobab, Moses' brother-in-law, and pitched his tent by the great tree in Zananim near Kedesh. When they told Sisera that Barak, son of Abinoam, had gone up to Mount Tabor, Sisera summoned Harosheth Hagoyim to the Kishon River, all his men and his 900 chariots fitted with iron. Then Deborah said to Barak, "Go. This is the day the Lord has given Sisera into your hands. Has not the Lord gone ahead of you?" So Barak went down Mount Tabor with 10,000 men following him. At Barak's advance, the Lord routed Sisera and all his chariots and army by the sword. And Sisera got down from his chariot and fled on foot. Barak pursued the chariots and army as far as Harosheth Hagoyim, and all Sisera's troops fell by the sword. Not a man was left. Sisera, meanwhile, fled on foot to the tent of Jael, the wife of Heber the Kenite, because there was an alliance between Jabin, king of Hazor, and the family of Heber the Kenite. May the Lord help us to understand more about that reading, and please will you forgive me for the
What do you call a judge who likes vegetables? A justice of the peas. Did anybody see in the news this week that a courtroom artist was arrested for an unknown offence? We're not sure what the reason was because the details are a little sketchy. And as well as that, an Italian man was also found guilty of an offence, and he got really upset when he found out what his punishment was going to be. The judge said to him, "Don't worry, it's a fine." But the Italian man said, "No, it's not a fine." Like, I'm sorry if anyone's Italian. Why am I telling these jokes about courts and judges? Well, it's my attempt at a link to what we're going to talk about this morning. We're continuing our series on women in the Bible. We're going to be thinking about Deborah, whose story we hear in what book? The book of Judges. So that's the link. Now, the judges we find in the book of Judges, they're nothing like courtroom judges and what we think of when we think of a judge, and we'll touch on that in just a moment. But I want to start by setting the scene this morning of where we are. Last week we were hearing about Miriam, the sister of Moses, and I think we're all familiar with the story where Moses led the Hebrews out of the land of Egypt and how they wandered the desert for 40 years in search of the promised land. And after those 40 years, Joshua led the people of God into the promised land and told them that they need to live according to God's laws so that they could show the people in the nations around them what God is like. And he also told them that they needed to drive the Canaanites out of this land. Do we think the Israelites did either of these things? No, they didn't. They messed it up. They failed to drive the Canaanites out, and they ended up living alongside them and adopting their ways and living lives that really were contrary to God's laws. And all through the book of Judges, we read the same words over and over again. There's ominous tones of what's to come. No, we don't. We read, "The Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord," which leads God to basically allowing the Israelites to go into oppression. And then again and again, we hear that the Israelites cried out to the Lord. And so each time, God sends a judge to help them. These judges, they're more like tribal leaders or military leaders who God sent his spirit into to give them the strength and authority to overthrow the oppressors of his people. And as this pattern repeats itself over and over again, not only do we go round and round in circles, but it actually spirals downwards, because as we continue through this period in history and throughout the book of Judges, we find that the judges become more and more corrupt as we go on. But we find ourselves this morning near the beginning of this downward spiral. We're in chapter 4, and we've got a judge called Deborah. And she was actually one of the good judges. And we read at the beginning of this chapter exactly what we would expect to read. That the Israelites, in verse 1, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord. Then in verse 2, he sold them into the hands of Jabin, king of Canaan. And then in verse 3, after 20 years, they cried to the Lord for help. There's no surprises there. It's what we've seen. It's already happened multiple times before. And then just as he's done four times before, God sends them a judge in verses 4 and 5. "Now Deborah, a prophet, a wife of Lapidoth, was leading Israel at that time. She held court under the palm of Deborah." And then we skip on a little bit. "And the Israelites went up to her to have their disputes decided." And then what unfolds over the next two chapters is a story about people who put their trust in God, and in doing so, the character of God himself is revealed. We had our reading this morning, which Kath read to us, the first 17 verses of chapter 4. It was quite lengthy. There were quite a lot of long words in there. But if we'd have had time, I would have selected the whole of verses 4 and 5 of our reading, because what we see in these two chapters, as much as it's the story of a prophet, wife and leader that was Deborah, it's also the story of a military leader called Barak, of a tent-dwelling woman called Jael, but more than any of these people, it's the story of Yahweh, the God of Israel, who loves his people. In this story where Deborah speaks the words of the Lord to Barak so that he can lead the Israelites to defeat this Canaanite army, God reveals himself to be three things. And I hope you'll recognise these characteristics of God. Because the first thing he reveals himself to be is the deliverer. The second thing he reveals himself to be is the promise keeper. And then the third thing, which is kind of two in one, is just and merciful at the same time. So just as a side note, yesterday I popped into the bank and I wanted to ask for a business loan because I've got a really good idea for, well, what I thought was a really good idea for a business. I want to deliver desserts to people's houses by using drones. I thought it was a great idea. The people at the bank disagreed and they refused to support my business. They said my idea was just pie in the sky. Unlike my dessert business, God actually does deliver. In our reading this morning, this all began with the words that Deborah spoke. She spoke these words of God to Barak. Go, take with you 10,000 men of Naphtali and Zebulun and lead them up to Mount Tabor. I will lead Sisera, the commander of Jabin's army, with his chariots and troops to the river Kishon and give them into your hands. And then if we fast forward to the end of chapter 4, and we didn't hear this in our reading this morning, but if we went to the end of chapter 4, this is what we hear. On that day, God subdued Jabin, king of Canaan, before the Israelites, and the hand of the Israelites pressed harder and harder against Jabin, king of Canaan, until they destroyed him. Now, Judges is quite a violent book, and so there's quite violent language, but the point is this. At the start, through his servant Deborah, God promises to deliver his people. And at the end, God delivers his people. God is the deliverer. And what we see throughout the book of Judges, and in fact all through the Old Testament, is God delivering his people from oppression again and again. Not because each time he's unsuccessful in doing the job properly, but because each time he's pointing forwards towards our ultimate delivery. Each time it's a promise of the delivery that we receive from our ultimate oppressor, our own sin, through Christ's victory on the cross. And that's why it's so incredible that what we also see in our passage this morning is that God is a keeper of promises. When God says he's going to do something, he does it. God said through Deborah that he would deliver the Canaanite army to Barak, and what did he do? He delivered the Canaanite army to Barak. We heard this in our reading this morning. But not only that, through the prophet Deborah, God promised Barak that the honour would not be his, because the Lord will deliver Sisera, the leader of the Canaanite army, into the hands of a woman. And if we were to carry on reading this morning, we would have got to verse 21, and we've heard that Sisera took refuge in a tent of the woman called Jael. And then in verse 21, it says that Jael picked up a tent peg and a hammer and went quietly to him while he lay fast asleep, exhausted. She drove the peg through his temple. I told you Judges was quite violent. But it goes to show that God keeps his promises. He kept his promise of delivering the Israelites. He kept his promise of a woman defeating Sisera. And he even kept his promise that the honour wouldn't be Barak's, because the whole of chapter 5 of Judges is a song that Deborah and Barak sing praising God for this victory. The honour belongs to God. And so if God is the promise keeper, how much more wonderful does it make the promise that he is a deliverer? How much more sweeter are those words that we hear if we think to John 3:16 and 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. When we know that what God says he's going to do, God actually does, then we know that our promise of eternal life will be kept, then we know that God's promise of a world made new, that his promise of his kingdom here on earth will come to be and is coming to be because he keeps his promises. And as well as God being the deliverer, as well as God being the promise keeper, we also see that he is both just and merciful. When his people do evil, they reap the results of that evil. And they end up, in our reading this morning, they end up in oppression. That's what happens to the Israelites again and again in the book of Judges. God acts in a way that is just, and that means that there's a penalty for people's crimes. But he's also merciful. So when they cry out to him for help, what does he do? He helps them. Of course he helps them because he's a merciful God. It's so easy for us to imagine God in the way that we just want to imagine him. And so for some people, it's easy to imagine God as almost cruel and inflicting unfair punishments on people. And then for other people, it's easy to imagine God as the complete opposite, as some cuddly teddy bear who could never inflict any punishment on anybody for anything. But neither of those ideas really works with what we read about God in the Bible, and that is that he does care about justice, he does care about fairness, he does care about what's right because he loves us, but he also cares about mercy because he loves us. He is also merciful towards us because he loves us. And ultimately, we see these two things come together perfectly in the person of Jesus. Because there is a penalty for sin. The wages of sin are death. And that is just. But Jesus takes this penalty upon himself. And that is merciful. Jesus is both the just and the merciful God, giving us the gift of grace to be able to spend eternity with him and with the Father. Because in Jesus Christ, God is our deliverer. In Jesus Christ, God keeps his promises to us. And in Jesus Christ, God is just and merciful. In the book of Judges, the Israelites defeat the Canaanite army, and the record of these events points us towards the character of God and give us a small glimpse of what we receive in Jesus. But what we also see that is incredible is that God shows us these things through the lives of the faithful people, Deborah and Barak, who put their trust in God. Deborah puts her trust in the Lord and delivers the words that he spoke to her to Barak. And then Barak puts his trust in the Lord and does exactly what the Lord told him to do through Deborah. Deborah was in this position of leadership, in this position of power, and yet we never see her try to become the main character of the story. But instead, she delivers God's message and allows things to unfold as per God's plan. Barak was also in a position of power, but once again, we never see him try to become the main character of the story. And in fact, he would rather have God's prophet Deborah with him to hear what God wants, even if that means that he doesn't get the honour at the end. He doesn't get the honour for the victory. He'd rather hear what God wants. And I wonder what we can learn from these two faithful servants of the Lord. I wonder if any of us have people in our lives who are like Deborah, humbly pointing us towards God's will, quietly leading us into God's calling without making it about themselves. I wonder if we even notice that they are there. Perhaps we can learn from this passage to listen more carefully for the Deborahs in our lives. I wonder whether we, like Barak, would rather listen to the Deborahs of this world and follow God's plan, or would we rather make ourselves the main character and get all the honour? Certainly something for us to reflect upon. And I wonder whether, like both Barak and Deborah, are we willing to give God the honour for the victories in our lives? Do we celebrate that God is the deliverer? Do we celebrate that he is the promise keeper. And do we celebrate that he is both just and merciful? And finally, I wonder if we do act faithfully like Deborah and Barak, if we do put our trust in the Lord, would those around us see that God is the deliverer, see that he's the promise keeper, see that he is the one who is just and merciful? And ultimately, would they see Jesus? Let's just pray into that for a moment.